Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There were at least three beliefs about Jesus floating around Israel as he carried out his earthly ministry. He's either out of his mind, or he's working with the demons, or he's the very Son of God. Believe it or not, it was his own earthly family who thought for a time that he was out of his mind. St. Mark tells us that in his gospel, just before he records the same events you heard in today's gospel from Luke. The scribes and Pharisees thought that Jesus was in league with the demons, as you heard in today's gospel. And as St. Matthew records this same event, there were still others who believed that Jesus was the promised Christ, the very Son of God. But what those people thought about Jesus isn't nearly important today as what you think about Jesus, what you believe about Jesus, because the only way you escape the devil's control and the devil's kingdom is by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, as the only one who is stronger than the devil and who can help you against him. Jesus was casting out demons yet again as today's gospel begins. This demon was both blind and mute, holding the poor, possessed man in a terrible state of isolation. Jesus used no incantations, no sacred objects, no magic spells. He didn't even command the demon to depart in the name of God. He did it in his own almighty name, as he always did, and the demon had to obey. That display of divine power caused some in the crowd to conclude, could this be the Son of David? But the scribes and Pharisees were quick to dissuade those people from believing in Jesus. He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Why did they think that? Well, because they saw supernatural power at work. Supernatural power in the demon possessing the man, and supernatural power in expelling the demon. And there are only two sources of supernatural power: God, who also empowers his holy angels, or the devil and his demons, who still retain some of the power God gave them in the beginning before they fell. The unbelieving Jews couldn't accept that Jesus was the very Son of God working by his power, just as they couldn't accept his word, which declared that all men, even the Jews, even the Pharisees and scribes, were in need of a Savior from sin, because no one is good enough to earn God's salvation. Since they rejected Jesus' word, they saw him as a false prophet in league with the devil, while they viewed themselves as being on God's side. But Jesus showed them, through his arguments, how absurd their accusation was. And worse than absurd, really, because by claiming that the power Jesus was using was the devil's power, when in reality it was the Holy Spirit's power, they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit, committing what the Scriptures sometimes call the unforgivable sin. Well, Jesus' first argument was this: every kingdom divided against itself is brought to ruin, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. it was foolish to claim that Jesus was helping, that Satan was helping Jesus to drive out Satan. That would show division in Satan's kingdom, in his ranks. It would show weakness. It would show that Satan's kingdom would soon self-destruct, just like any kingdom or house divided against itself eventually does, causing one to wonder how long it can possibly be before our country, our divided country, self-destructs. But Satan's kingdom is much more united than our country is, than any house is. He and all his demons are united in their love for wickedness and in their war against God and against the people of God. Satan's kingdom is strong. He is strong. And his kingdom will not self-destruct. The only way for men to be rescued out of Satan's powerful kingdom is if someone comes in from the outside. Someone stronger than Satan. Someone who actually has mankind's best interests at heart. That's Jesus. He continues his argument, "And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, well armed, guards his palace, his possessions are secure. But when a man who is stronger than he comes against him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoils." To me, it seems clear that what Jesus meant by this is that although some of the Jews were going around trying to cast out demons, they weren't very successful. But Jesus was, every single time. That proved that he was not using the power of the devil, but the finger of God to cast out demons, which Matthew's gospel identifies as the Holy Spirit. Jesus' power over the demons was not proof that he was working under the devil. It was proof that he was stronger than the devil. Only Jesus was able to rescue people out of the devil's kingdom. And the same is true today. Whether the devil holds people under his direct outward control, or whether he simply counts them among his children who are trapped inside his kingdom and therefore outside of God's kingdom, the devil and his demons are just as powerful today as they ever were. His grip on mankind remains firm. And his lies are still potent. Look at how he deceives the nations. Look at the rising violence in our community and throughout the world, and the addiction in the world, and the widespread acceptance of wickedness, and the widespread rejection of truth at its very core. Look at how the witness of the genuine Christian church has been all but silenced in the world. All this is Satan's doing, aided by his demons and helped along by his allies among men. How can the church possibly prevail in the midst of all this? How can anyone still escape the devil's grasp? Only if there is someone stronger than the devil at work, someone who actually has our best interests at heart. That's Jesus. And there's no in-between when it comes to him. As he says in the gospel, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." You're either with him by believing in him as the very Son of God and by keeping his word, or you're against him in league with the devil. There is no in between. You're either gathering with Him, confessing Him before men as the very Son of God so that they come into His kingdom, or you're scattering people, pushing them away from Jesus by promoting Him as anything less than the very Son of God. Here I'd like to share with you an observance by C.S. Lewis, because apart from the three reactions to Jesus or beliefs about Jesus that we mentioned before, which Lewis also mentions here as real possibilities, there is a fourth, absolutely ridiculous attitude toward Jesus that is still very common today, just as it was common in 1952 when Lewis wrote these words. It's the perception of Jesus as a great leader and moral teacher who is not the Son of God. He writes, "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept His claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." You're not rescued from the devil's kingdom or protected from the demons by having nice thoughts about Jesus, by thinking highly of his moral teachings, or by picking and choosing which teachings of Jesus and of the Scriptures you want to believe and which you're willing to discard. Only faith in Christ Jesus as true God and true man, who bore our sins, suffered and died for them, and rose again from the dead. Only faith in His promise to deliver us from the devil's kingdom will actually result in a person being rescued. But even after being rescued, there still is a risk of recapture. Jesus says, "Whenever an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house out of which I came.' And when it arrives, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." What does it mean that a demon goes back and finds its house swept and put in order? It means that the person who was at first rescued from the devil allows a vacancy to remain in his heart. Maybe he's straightened up his life. Maybe he's not indulging in open wickedness anymore. But unless the Word of Christ dwells in a person richly, unless the Spirit of Christ dwells in a person's heart by faith, he remains vulnerable again to the devil's attacks. So, what to do? Jesus tells us in the final words of today's gospel, "It happened that as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed.' But he said, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. There it is. That's the recipe. That's the answer. That's how to fill your heart so that the devil has no room to get in. Hear the word of God and keep it. It's a simple thing, really, but it's a lifelong process to keep hearing God's word. And not just a few verses that you happen to like, but the whole thing, the whole of Scripture, and the preaching of it, which God's ministers provide if they are faithful. And not only to hear it, but to ponder it, think about it, and then keep it. Treasure it. Hold on to it. Hold it close. Do what it says. Or as St. Paul put it in today's epistle, be imitators of God. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Then you will be blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable, because where the word of God is heard and kept, there is the Spirit of God and the Father and the Son making their home with the one who believes. And where God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there the devil has no power. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that you may know Jesus rightly, follow him steadfastly, and be preserved from every evil. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.